Well, to prepare for the message, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you, that, Lord, you tell us to rejoice always. Father, we pray that we would understand that that's not based on circumstances, but based on who Christ is. And since Christ never changes, that joy never needs to change either. Lord, help us understand that, not only understand it, but allow us to live it so that other people can see Christ in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about what to share to prepare for Thanksgiving, I had to think back over my last couple weeks, and I've had a couple days, probably maybe a whole week in there, that I had gotten fairly depressed, actually. Thought about it'd probably be better for everyone if I just left the ministry and everything else, and I feel bad for my wife because she sort of has to deal with it more than anyone else. And you allow depression to sort of overcome you. You allow discouragement. You allow all this other stuff to come over, and you just can't even think straight. And I believe it comes back to mostly pride and selfishness. And thinking I want something more for myself than what God wants or whatever the case might be. But I sort of been thinking the last couple weeks here how blessed I am. You know, sort of waking up with a different attitude, trying to think and understand that I am probably the luckiest person in the world, the most fortunate person in the world to have what I have, to be where I am, to be doing what I'm doing. And this is part of what led me to prepare for this Thanksgiving service, because I'm really hoping that we can be used. Then as we've been talking about apologetics Wednesday night, being able to explain that faith, and there's one thing, you'll be able to explain your faith till you're blue in the face, and it doesn't matter if your life is not living a life of joy. If you're miserable and you're telling other people that they can have what you have, do you think it's that attractive? Yes, you too can be miserable and depressed like me if you accept Jesus Christ. But that's what we do many times as believers. We live like that, and it's ridiculous because we're told in God's word to rejoice in the Lord always. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is that we can keep our perspective right because of who it's built on and not our circumstances. So I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 4 through 8. It says, to rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, to rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men, the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, Paul, the writer of this book, was writing to believers, and that's first and foremost important. If you are living a life and you are struggling with depression, you are struggling with guilt and everything else, it begins that change with knowing Jesus Christ. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, the formula I give you that God's word gives us means nothing today. You need to start with Jesus Christ. So if you desire to have what I'm sharing about today, understand that it can only begin with Jesus Christ. Paul writes this letter to a group of believers, so he has that already in the equation that they know Jesus Christ. So if you want what we talk about here today, you need to start by knowing Jesus Christ. I see three things in these verses. One, the plan for the believer's life. Two, it's the purpose for that plan. And three, the process that's needed to attain it. First, the plan is to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it, to rejoice. Isn't that what we desire to have? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to have joy abundantly? To be able to let everyone see that no matter what the circumstance we deal with, that we can have joy. That joy is there no matter what is going on. Paul wrote this letter while he was most likely in prison in Rome under house arrest. And he wrote this letter. He said to rejoice in the Lord always. Read Philippians. Take some time this week and read from Philippians 1 all the way through chapter 4. And you'll see the contentment that he has. He writes a little bit later. He says, I've learned to be content no matter what the situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So the joy that he is encouraging us to have today is not based upon your circumstances, is not based upon your health, is not based upon your bank account. No circumstances matter when we talk about what Paul is offering through Jesus Christ here in the book of Philippians. The plan is for you to have joy and have it always. Joy is not the absence of trouble and tribulation, but rather a peace through the hard times. I know, as a pastor, I know some of you are going through hard times. Some of you are having relationship issues. Some of you have just lost your jobs. Some of you have lost a dear friend. But he tells us to rejoice even through that because of the peace that he offers to us. We can have that type of joy. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, kids, remember it this morning? Let's see if you guys can say it with me, okay? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is not an easy thing to do. Jared, losing your job, is it easy to say, thank you, God. Thanks for allowing me to have this problem right now. Fred, I imagine it's sort of hard to say, thank you, God. I'm looking forward to heart surgery on Tuesday. But I see God working in you through that peace that he's given you, that our joy is not dependent upon our circumstance. But so many of us allow that to happen. When things are going good, oh, we're really happy. But once they're not going well, we're not. And you know what? People are watching us. And that's what this video was that we watched on Tuesday night about being able to explain your faith. Which brings us to the next point, is the purpose of this joy. The purpose of our joy is simply for evangelism purposes. And for our own selves, of course. There's no better way than for people to see the difference Christ has made in your life than when you have joy. And I would even go one step farther. There's no better way than that than when you have joy in tough circumstances. When you lose somebody close to you. When you're going through a hardship. When you can continue to have joy in those circumstances. That's when the world will notice and say, he has something or she has something that I want to have. That, to me, is an amazing thing. And that's when we can show Christ, when we have the joy. So the plan is for us to have this joy. The purpose is that we can share Christ with those around us, and we see that according to verse 5. And I have a couple different translations up there. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Let people see Christ through your life. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, the Lord is at hand. The NASB, let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. God wants to use you. He wants to use the joy. And there's no better evangelism tool than to have joy no matter what the circumstance is. Because then people see us and they desire to have what we have. And I love that idea. To me, evangelism should never be a program within a church. Evangelism should be something that naturally happens because God is giving joy to people through all circumstances. And when a church has that joy, and when I say church, I mean you and myself. We are the church. When people see the church having joy through no matter what the circumstance, that is evangelism. That's when people will want what you have. People will be drawn to you. People will say, wow, I want to have that joy, even though I'm going through that or that. Because I saw so-and-so have that, and I want to have that. 1 Peter 3:15, our verses that were the verse we're sort of using as our theme for apologetics on Wednesday nights. It says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, but do this with gentleness and respect. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. I tell you, preach always and use words if necessary. Your life is a message of Christ. What you are and how you live is a message to other people. But when we allow ourselves to be filled with all that stuff, we're not much of a message because we're no different from everyone else. So why would they desire to have what we have? Because we're the same as everyone else. But we have and we can have so much more because he's promised us so much more. That is a promise when he says to rejoice in the Lord always. And we need to take that promise like everything else. So we have the process. This is encouragement, something we can take with us. Yes, we desire to have that joy. We understand that through that joy, Lord, you want me to share your love with everyone around us. But how? Well, he gives us a process here. He tells us, first of all, in verse 6 there, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, mothers, I'm going to tell you this one more verse, okay? Because you were probably worried about your kids while I was telling you that. Do not be anxious about anything. Jared, I want you to hear this, okay? Just lost your job. Do not be anxious about anything. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. Justin and Beck, you know, losing your friend. Do not be anxious about anything. And it tells us why we don't need to be anxious about anything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Coming into and staying in the presence of God. Not only are we allowed to come into the presence, but we are allowed to stay in the presence of God if we so desire. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Start listing the things you're thankful for. We have a week coming up, and I hope that we do this. And when we can start with that list of thanksgiving, we start filling that daily with those good things, the things that our mind needs to think about. And to know that we can come before the throne of our God, Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence or boldness that you can receive mercy and grace to help you in the time of need. God is there going, I'm ready to help you. Come to me. Not only come into my presence, but stay in my presence. Come in prayer with petition continuously. Bring it to me. He wants you to come into his presence. He wants you to stay into his presence. And we can do that by dwelling on the things of God. It's so easy to get sidetracked on our own problems and everything else that a day becomes a week becomes a month, and a month we become depressed. Because we've forgotten about what life is really about. So it says, do not be anxious about anything. Then he continues, he says, allow God's peace to indwell you. The peace of God, it says, after we do not be anxious about anything, by prayer and petition, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God. Think about that for a second. The peace of God. God who knows the future. God who knows what's going on now. God who knows exactly what you need, when you need it. That peace of God will transcend all understanding and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Angie's got to be hard some days, doesn't it? Allow that peace of God to dwell in you. When you see what's happening to your children, it's so difficult. But we have to trust that God's peace to come into that and stay into that presence and allow that peace of God, which transcends, which surpasses, is another word for that, surpasses all comprehension, guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. When we do that, when we live in that peace, it means a difference to everyone around us. They see Christ in us, and they see that peace, and they want what we have. Then we have an opportunity to show them Jesus Christ. So it says, do not be anxious about anything. Allow yourself to dwell in the peace. He's going to guard your heart and your mind. He's going to guard that spiritual side of us, but he's also going to dwell within that reason of us. Not just the one, it's not just a spiritual blessing. He is saying, I will indwell your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus if you let him. This is wonderful when we can start thinking about these things, because this brings us then to the last verse. Fill your mind with the things of God. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is praiseworthy, think about such things. When we learn to take the time that God wants us to take every morning and think about how good he is to us, guess what? There's not a whole lot of room for depression. There's not a whole lot of room for discouragement. Those things will fall away because we've been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We've recognized who God is, and we realize how good we have it. We have it good, people. I don't know about you, but I was able to eat a big breakfast this morning. I was able to look at a sunrise. I was able to drive a vehicle down here. God has blessed me richly. God has blessed you richly. Have you counted your blessings lately? I was sort of hoping Julie was going to be here this morning as she took a Bible study, Jeff and Julie. And so she's been carrying around a counter. And she's supposed to get to 100 clicks in the morning about talking about all the ways God has blessed her. You know, she's supposed to click away. He's done this for me. He's blessed me here. He's watched over me. He's been with my family. Click, 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 click. And when she reaches 100 click, I'll bet you the rest of her day goes pretty well because she's allowed herself to be filled with those things we're supposed to fill ourselves with. And when we're filled with this, other people want to have that. Get those yellow balls out of there because they don't want them. We don't want them. And let God take them. You want to stand up for Christ? Indwell. Allow the Holy Spirit to indwell you. Not just during the good times, but during the tough times, during the trials. And then you will be set apart to be used as a tool of evangelism. We have many things here at the church. Prayer breakfast is one of those things that helps me out to fill my life the right way. Saturday morning when I come here and hear what God has been doing in the lives of other men, that fills me with the right things. Whatever is pure, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, whatever, lovely, excellent, admirable, anything of excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Sunday school, Bible studies, youth group, pie auctions, wherever we can get together as a bunch of believers and laugh, when we can enjoy the friendships of one another. That's something the world doesn't have, and they want to have it. So let's show that world Jesus Christ by allowing him to indwell us, and let's allow that to be our tool of evangelism. Rejoice in the Lord always. Wow. We can do that. If we trust God's word. Clint, I imagine some days it's hard when you're on the road, isn't it? To be able to get your mind set on the right things. I can't imagine traveling every day, so even double your efforts to make sure you're indwelling yourself with the positive. We need to make sure that we allow Christ to dwell us so that there's not room for the discouragement and everything else that the world wants to toss at us. So the big question for you this morning, is your joy based on circumstances which continually changes, or is it anchored in Christ who always remains constant? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if your joy is anchored in Christ, it will never change your joy. I had to pray for forgiveness for allowing myself to go down that path where I'd allow my life to be filled with all those yellow balls every day. Discouragement and depression. But we need to be careful to make sure that we fill it with the right stuff so there's no room for the other. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you for the many ways you bless us. Lord, as we have this opportunity to stand and sing 10,000 reasons, we pray that that is only the beginning of what we are thankful for, of how you blessed us, those things that are true and noble and right and pure and praiseworthy. We pray that we would learn to start every day that way. Lord, that we would recognize how fortunate we are, how many ways you've been with us. And Lord, that through our lives, people would see Christ, even as we go through those bad circumstances. We pray that that would not change who you are and what you've promised to each one of us. We thank you for what you've done in us. Allow us to have that joy that people can see Jesus. We pray this in your name.